The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Ben referred there to the correspondence between the Garda Commissioner, Drew Harris, and the former junior minister at the Department of Transport, Jack Chambers, who has now gone, of course, to be the Minister for Finance. So we're joined by Jack Chambers' replacement, James Lawless, now the junior minister. Thank you very much for joining us.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Good. Now, can you explain what is meant by the idea of graduated penalty points?
I can indeed. So it's one of a range of measures being considered by me and my department at the moment in the context of an overall review of, I suppose, road safety. The Road Safety Authority itself was subject to a review by Indicon, independent organisation, and that report has just landed on my desk in the last couple of days in very preliminary form. We will consider that and make recommendations arising out of that over the next couple of months. But in terms of graduated points, what that means is that at the moment, it's a one-size-fits-all. So it's three penalty points, whether you're doing 80, 120, 160, whether you're 10%, 20%, or 50% above the speed limit, it's the same fine. You've been speeding, here's your points. So how a graduated system would work is, for example, if you're doing 85 kilometres in an 80-kilometre zone, or 83 kilometres maybe in an 80-kilometre zone, you might get one penalty point. On the other hand, if you were doing 160 kilometres in a 120 or 100-kilometre zone, you might be hit with four, maybe even five penalty points. So there's a bit of detail, a bit of maths to be worked out, but the idea behind it is it's more proportionate, it's fairer. If somebody is committing what might be considered a more minor infraction, marginally above the speed limit, then perhaps the penalty is commensurate with that. But if they're really going hell for leather in extremely excessive way, then the penalty is far more severe. So it's taken it away from that three-point-fits-all to a more graduated fashion. I think there's a lot of merit to the proposal. It's something I'm looking at. It's not the only thing I'm looking at.
Just before you tell me about the other things you're looking at, would there not be a danger, though, that people would say, well, I can go that little bit over the 50 limit or the 80 limit because I'll only get the one penalty point?
Absolutely, and that's why this is not by any means a done deal yet. It may be that there's a minimal, perhaps 2 points could be the minimum, and I say this is really only just thinking ahead as to, you know, there's a lot of way to go in this in terms of working out the maths behind it, working out the proportionality. It may come down to 2 points being the minimum, but either way, the point holds that a more severe penalty for more severe infractions, that is the way in every other area of the criminal law. So why would road traffic infringements or offences be different? Something else that I've asked my officials to look at is the concept of re-education. So if you have a problem driver, and what I mean by that is somebody who is repeatedly clocking up points, you know, perhaps has been before the courts on road driving offences, in addition to the existing sanctions, which include fines, can include imprisonment, depending on the nature of the offence, and as a first response penalty points, a kind of re-education. So if you're before the courts on a crime of violence, you may very well, you'll often see courts and judges referring people to anger management classes. If you were before the courts on a crime which is motivated by alcohol or drug dependencies, you'll very often see people being referred to counselling or addiction management services. So the same sort of idea to say, well, if you're a problematic driver, if you're showing that your driving is irresponsible, is erratic, and doesn't take into account the needs of other road users, you may well be referred to a course where you which is obligated. It's not optional. You must take this up. And I suspect that the kind of people who are doing this type of driving wouldn't particularly like that idea, and perhaps that in itself might be a deterrent, but also, of course, might have a beneficial effect if they come out the far side with a somewhat increased awareness of what their responsibilities are as a road user.
But James, there's already people saying that it's all very well to try and change the system and it might make sense, but is it going to make a damn bit of difference if there aren't enough Gardaí out doing patrols on the road to actually catch people driving badly?
Well, absolutely. So that's, I suppose, a Gardaí matter, but the Garda Commissioner has committed already earlier this year to every uniformed Garda putting in 30 minutes per shift at high visibility roads policing. So I very much welcome that and thank the Commissioner for that. That does need to be maintained. The other thing that, again, I'm looking at, and I'm only in the department about 2 weeks, but a sort of automated enforcement. So things like digital, we already have license plates, but digital road tax discs, insurance discs, digital awareness of your situation, so that a Garda with a scanner can actually, if people whiz by, can actually pick up and those kind of items. That is within the realm of the technically possible. It's not in any way futuristic. So That would again save man time, save manpower, and allow technology to be applied to some of these issues. So, look, there's a lot of, I suppose there's a range of options as in any complex area. But, you know, I think there are a couple of things that may help in the short term.
Another listener saying, would you do you better to clamp down on uninsured drivers?
It's already, your listener may not be surprised to hear, it's already illegal to drive without insurance. It actually leads to an automatic disqualification. So, you know.
But lots of people ignore that, and lots of people, even after they're disqualified, continue driving.
Yeah, so that goes back to what I said about the automated enforcement. If insurance discs are part of the system, are part of a central system, and when a car goes past, the license plate is read, and the insurance status of it is picked up automatically, you remove that manual, quite cumbersome exercise where a guard has to lean over the bonnet, stop the car, check the insurance disc, possibly punch it back into his computer at the time of ring back to HQ. So there are measures in place around that. But very much, look, that is part of the road policing effort that is already underway. And, you know, you'll see checkpoints around the country again this weekend, as you do every other weekend. And that 30 minutes of visible road policing, I think, is very much going towards that as well.
Okay, there are other listeners suggesting that you should have graduated fines, like they do in other countries. For example, Germany, where if you are caught speeding, you also get a financial penalty, and that financial penalty is linked to your income. What do you think of that as an idea?
I think the point system is one that we've come down on in this country. I think the point system, I suppose, the fines really are something that you that go alongside that. But the points really are significant deterrent, because people are probably aware if you hit 12 points, you're off the road. There can also be an impact on your insurance premium once you go 6 points or above. So, you know, and depending on the nature of the car, the nature of the, you know, if you're a commercial driver, you can be off, you can lose your job for having just a single set of points. So we have that. Look, the fines may be part of that, but I think really, the ultimate weapon at the moment is the point system. It has worked reasonably well. There are tweaks we can do to make it work better, and I've talked through a few of those already.
Also, listeners want to know, would you do more in relation to catching people who are driving while using their mobile phones rather than concentrating necessarily on speeding?
Completely. And I think that's something that we all see far too often. People, and including, unfortunately, commercial drivers who really, really should know better, going around corners, phone in their hand, and people watching videos. I've seen people watching sports matches on the M50, you know, on their phones. But now, and again, perhaps we need to look at the technology, because technology, as often happens, is perhaps outstripped the law. The law says, and it was quite clever the way it was phrased initially, if you have a phone in your hand, it doesn't say if you're texting, if you're making a call. It didn't try to preempt the multiple uses that phones would have. But now people might have the phone on the dashboard. I might have an Apple Play running, watching a movie or matches they drive. How sensible or prudent is that?
Okay, well, one final one that I want to throw at you. Listener here, John says, I've driven 2,000 kilometres in 10 days. The only speed vans I saw were on the M1 and M8. Most fatal accidents happen on country roads, and the stats back that up. We've unfortunately, tragically, had more than 100 deaths so far this year on our roads, but more than half of those have happened off the motorways and off the main national roads, and yet they're the ones in which most of the policing is done.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And actually, my department is launching a campaign targeting rural roads in this summer, and that will be rolled out in the next week or two. And there is very much, I'd agree with your listener, the research would suggest that motorways, by and large, are safer locations, safer driving, typically have better driving habits, but there's more space on the road, the traffic flows more smoothly. There are a lot of accidents on rural roads. Rural back roads can be lethal. So that is very much a part of it. But the other thing I would just say is there has been a number of measures taken already this year from the department. So in April of this year, the Road Traffic Act was introduced. It was the First Amendment to road traffic for some time. In May of this year, there was further measures introduced by regulation, which included, say, e-scooters, had previously been something of a lacuna, a bit of an unknown area in the law. They are now regulated. Drug testing is mandatory at all collisions since the June bank holiday weekend. Drug testing will be a mandatory after the fact at every collision on the roads. And the speed limits are being revised downwards. That comes into effect actually on local rural roads in November of this year, will be the start of that rollout. So that is happening. So there's a lot going on, but I think we can still do better. And I think we have an obligation to all those casualties and all those people who use the roads, that we must continue to strive to do better.
Minister of State of the Department of Transport, James Lawless, thank you for joining us.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Today.